We are privileged to have Lady Ebun to share with us today. So I will pray for a minute and then turn it over to her. Father, I thank you, Lord, again. As always, we declare that the entrance of your word brings light. It gives light and it gives understanding. And we thank you, Lord, because the word of God must prevail. And the word of God will not ever be bound. Must go forth. Thank you, Jesus. The word of faith that's in our hearts and our mouth. The word of wisdom that the Lord will give. And grant her the utterance to declare it this morning. And each of us ears to hear and hearts to understand. We give you, Lord, the praise and glory. And we pray against interruptions in the room today, whether it be by the technology or any other way. Let everything be under control and let the name of the Lord be glorified. And for those who will respond to the lesson, I pray that everybody will speak as directed by the Holy Spirit, that we will all be blessed together. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Well, over to you, Lady Ebun. I'm going to yield my mic here. Praise the Lord.
Amen, amen. Good morning again. Good afternoon, everyone. And thank you again, Pastor, for this golden opportunity to share with everyone. God bless you all for being here. And I pray that the Lord will give utterance. Even as I open my mouth, that it will take over in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for this great opportunity. Thank you, Lord, for bringing us all here and giving us the confidence in you. Our confidence is in your word and in you. Thank you, Lord, for calling us and making this day available for us. Thank you, Jesus, for everyone that is here. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, welcome, everyone. Good morning again. The topic that I wanted to talk about today is the enter in at the straight gate. And this was inspired, I think, by our sister Joke when she mentioned something about, should we go back and, redo this, redo that, even as believers? And, and the Lord was, speaking to me concerning that area. And then it's this enter in at the straight gate is taken from the book of Matthew chapter 7, and it's on verse 13. It says, enter ye at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. And in that teaching that Jesus was doing, he taught so many other things, like judge not. If you look at from the beginning, from verse 1, he was talking about not judging people. For with judgment you judge, you shall be judged, and so on and so forth. Ask them about us, and it shall be given unto you, in verse 7. All those good principles that the Lord has taught us, as believers. Everyone that asketh, receive it, enter ye. And then it went on to verse 13, where I took it, said, enter ye at the straight gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be which go therein. So, and the Lord made me to ponder over that Jesus is urging us here, in this book, to enter in at the straight gate. However, is describing two gates here. The wide gate, which is also broad. That wide and broad gate and broad way leads to destruction, he said. The unique thing about that road is that many go in. A lot of people find this wide gate. The whole world, many people, everybody's doing it. You know what I mean? They go through that gate. And that gate ends in destruction. Then he recommended the way to go is the straight gate. So let's examine this straight gate. in this topic of today. Okay, what is the straight gate? It describes it. It is narrow. It is straight. It leads to eternal life. And few finds it. It's just opposite of the wide, you know, the road to destruction. You know, the straight gate is narrow, is straight, it leads to eternal life. While the broad, you know, the broad way is broad, many find it, a lot of people are there, you know, but it leads to destruction. So let us try, you know, in Luke 13:24. The book of Luke 13:24, it says, strive to enter at the straight gate. For many, I say to you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. So the time is coming that many would strive to enter at that gate and it will be too late. They will not be able to. They'll say, Lord, I did this, I did that, and so on and so forth. And he would tell them, I never knew you. These people are believers. They, you know, they claim to be believers, but then he's going to deny them because they did not come in through at the gate. So here in the scripture, we are urged to strive to enter at the straight gate because later many will seek to enter and it shall be, they will not be able because they stayed too long in the wide and broad way. So what is typical about this broad and wide road? All right. Many are in this road. Many find it. This road is wide and allows many people in it. So we don't want to be in that wide road. It's easy. You know, you can easily go in there. No, seemingly. But the end of it is destruction. And because straight is the gate and narrow is the way, which lead to eternal life, very few find it. Very few find it because it's difficult. It's a difficult place. So sometimes it is referred to as the straight and narrow for short. People refer to this, oh, let's go in the straight and narrow way. You know, we hear that all the time. So this strip described the results of staying in the wide, broad way. So when once the master of the house is risen up and had, now this is, I'm reading Luke 13 from 25 to 30, and it says, when once the master of the house is risen up and had shut the door, and you begin to stand without and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. And he shall answer and say unto you, I know you not whence ye are. Then shall ye begin to say, oh, we have eaten and drunk in thy presence. We have gone to church now. We have done all this and has taught, you know, in your streets. We have witnessed. We went out every Saturday. We do this, we do that. But he shall say, I tell you, I know you not whence ye are. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth when ye shall see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the apostles in the kingdom of God. And you yourself thrust out, and ye shall come from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south and shall sit down in the kingdom of God. And behold, There are last which shall be first, and that shall be first which shall be last. Excuse me. So when the door is shut and the people are standing by the door, this is described when one gets to heaven, when you see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob and all the prophets, as in the story of there was a certain man in a rich man. There was a story that was set in the Bible. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fierce and extravagantly every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was laid at his gate, full of sores, desiring to be fed with the crumbs that fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the doves came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosoms. The rich man also died and was buried in the hell, you know, in hell. He lifted up his eyes, being in torment. He said, Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. And send Lazarus, you know, because he knew Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest the good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they pass us. Amen. That will come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee, therefore, Father, thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, that they also will come into the place, that they will not come into this place of torment. That was in Luke 16:19-28, the story of this rich man and the poor man, Lazarus, that was begging in the streets, and also begging this man, just let the crumb of your bread come to me and I will eat. But you see, this rich man had the good things of life, have everything. So having the good things of life does not mean that we are going to go to heaven. Sorry. Having all this fancy stuff does not equate our salvation at all. So this man had all the good things of life. Lazarus was poor and beggarly on the street. And some of these beggars on the street, you don't know who is going to go to heaven out of them all. So in this story, people can still listen to Isaac and the prophets. In this script, only Father Abraham was mentioned. More men and women of God will be there, that we will be able to identify, I suppose. So what I'm saying is, there was only Abraham when this Lazarus, and when they died. But later on, you know, they were able to see Isaac and all the other men of God that have gone before us, that have been in the presence of the Lord. We'll be able to see them. Will we able to see some of the apostles, the prophets that have gone ahead of us? So let us enter in through the door. Jesus said, I am the door. In John 10:9. He said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. So let's go in through the door. And if you have entered through any other way, whether through the windows, some people, they are thieves because they enter through the window. And that's why you wonder why some lives, they come in, they say they are believers. All right. But their actions, their behavior, they steal, they do all kind of things because they did not enter in at the right way. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the door. So let us go through him. Let's see. Now, I'm going to read another scripture in John 10:1-11. And it says, verily, verily, I say unto you, either enter not by the door into the sheepfold, but climb up some other way. The same is a thief and a robber. And who is a thief and a robber? You know, it's the devil. You know, they say you're of your father, the devil. They're thieves, they're robbers, because they did not come in through the door. Jesus is the door. But either enter in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he put forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice, and a stranger will they not know. But we flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spoke unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me, they are thieves and robbers. But the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes not but to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. That's the job of the devil. He has come to do three things: to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I am come that you might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. So here the Lord is telling us the difference. You know, if you come through him, he is the way, he is the door. So let's go. If you have come in through another way, which means maybe you come in through the windows, you have to re-examine. Re-examine, how did I come into the Lord? And if you didn't do it right, now let's go back and re-enter. Go in and enter through the correct way, which is through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Also in 1 Peter 5, 8 to 11 says, be sober. Knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who had called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. So when we go through that way, let's go through Jesus. That is the only way. There's no other way. So beloved, you know, Jude 1-3 said, beloved, when I gave you all diligence to write unto you of all the common salvation, you know, it was needful for me to write unto you and to exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto you, unto the saints. So let us honestly contend. Let us look back and say, make your calling and your election sure. If you have any doubt, let's go back and say, Lord, I want to come in through you, through that door, through that way, because there is no other way, there is no other door but you. And if we have come through any other way, let us retrace our step back and come in through the right way, which is through our Lord Jesus Christ. So that is what the message of today is. Let us enter in at the straight gate. Let us go in, which is, Jesus said, I am the door, the way, the truth, and all these other things. And nothing else. If you come in through any other way, the person will be regarded as a thief, as a robber. And that's why you wonder. Some people say, are they really believers? Why are they behaving like this? Maybe the reason why they come in is different. They come in because they are deceivers. They want to deceive the brethren. They come in there for a need, for something that they want to do in the body of Christ. And, you know, they need to go back and say, Lord, I'm coming in through you and nothing else. They need to be able to give up everything that is in their life and take Christ, you know, daily, on a daily basis. You know, Pastor was talking about you die daily. They need to be able to do it the right way. Do salvation the right way. Not grace to abound towards us, that we will have sufficiency in all things to the glory of God, the Father. So, the admonition, it's very short, is this, that we should go in at the straight gate. Jesus admonished us, and is still admonishing us today, that if we have gone in or go to any other way, let's examine ourselves. Why did I become a Christian? What is the reason? If there's any other reason that is not, that we are convicted by the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit brought us into His presence, then we need to go back and re-examine and come in at the right, in the right way, and the Lord will help us. So I will pray that the Lord will guide us to re-examine ourselves, to see if there's anything that is contrary to the Word of God, that is contrary in our lives. If we are going in the way of the world, the wide road, everybody's doing it, so I'm doing it too. Everybody's going this way and I'm going that way too. Let us re-examine ourselves. Let us re-examine ourselves. Say, Lord, what do you want for me? What do you want me to do? Just because other people are doing something doesn't make it right for me. Just because everybody's going this way, just because the world now is turning, talking about evil and making it good, doesn't mean that I should accept it too. You know, I'll stay in that straight and narrow way. Very few finds it. And the end of it is eternal life. Either the broad way, where everybody finds, where the things are now, they devise all kind of new things to themselves. They do this and that. We should not go that way. We should stand with the Lord, and the Lord will help us. So, Father, we thank you for this admonition that you are giving to us, including myself, to go in that narrow way and the straight way that leads to eternal life, and avoid the broad way. Yes, everybody finds it, Lord, but Lord, you have cautioned us not to go in that broad way, but to go in the straight and narrow way, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We will not turn to the left. We will not turn to the right, but we go on that straight and narrow way until we see our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. I thank you, Lord, for this opportunity again. I thank the brethren for listening. I thank my pastor, my husband, for giving me this opportunity to be able to, this platform, to be able to voice out this conviction that you have given unto me. I thank you that it will be a blessing. It will be a blessing to us that we revisit your word. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Thank you, everyone, for listening. I'm going to turn it over to Pastor. Amen.
Amen, amen, amen. Thank you, Lady Ebon, for the share. Straight to the point, strive to enter in at the straight gate. For many, I say unto you, who seek to enter in and shall not be able. In the other place, he says, well, broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there will be many people that find it. But narrow and straight. You know, and it's kind of tight, and it's not very roomy, you know, and may not be very comfortable either. That's the way that leads to life. And it's not a popular road. And there be few that find it, Jesus said. Well, I pray that the Lord will grant us the grace to find it. Said, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leads to life, because of that, there are few people that find it. You know, if the road was wider and if the gate was wider, people can be able to rush in. And that's what we see. People are rushing into the wide gate. But the end of that is destruction. It reminds us Powerful, powerful lesson. Brief, short, but powerful. Reminds all of the lessons that we did last week or so on something that is glittering, but it's not gold. And yet that is gold, but doesn't glitter. So this popular wide road, and let's talk about it, that is popular, and that's the one that everybody finds. It could be popular culture. It could be, you know, popular beliefs. It could be, you know, even behavior. There's been a lot of behavior modification these days just because, you know, people listen to all kinds of things. They see all kinds of things on TV. They hear all kinds of things or see on social media and so forth. And people are following the ways of the world. Well, Jesus said those ways lead to destruction. So be careful now. The ways that lead to life, Jesus said, or the way that leads to life, very, very narrow. And, it's difficult to find, actually, because if it were easy to find, there would not be few that would find it. You know, but the one that is easy to find is the one that actually leads to destruction. But there must be a finding or a searching, a looking for some. That is involved. So thank you, Lady Ebon. Powerful, powerful share. I want to throw it up out for reactions to the broad way, you know, that leads to destruction, and the narrow and straight way, the gate that leads to life. And just because, she said, just because everybody's doing it doesn't make it right. You know, and that's the thing that, you know, people get swept away into this thing. Well, it seems good. Everybody's doing it, so they must be right. No, everybody is doing it or everybody's saying it does not make it right. What is right is what God declares to be righteous in his eyes. Right standing with the Lord. Has any thoughts, any shares, any comments on this lesson first? Let's talk about that. Then if you want to comment on a different lesson, that's fine too. But let's talk about this one first. Any shares on the wide way that leads to destruction that seems to be attractive to many, and then the straight gate and narrow way that leads to life, which only few people find? Yeah, let's talk about it.
Good morning, sir. Good morning, ma. Good morning, all the brethren on the platform. Why people find it easy to go through the wide gate? Because part of it, carnality is enjoyed. No precaution, no caution. Men having itching ears. They follow those who are not going to heaven, and they continue in the same way.
Unfortunately, today, I just saw a post on my other line wherein they showed the few that are able to enter through the straight gate and the rushing going through the church. So going through the church itself is not the straight gate. There's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof is destruction. It's like it's been the same thing that is being said in various ways to people today. People do not want to maintain the ancient landmark. And therefore, it's getting more and more difficult. The sister Lady Ebo kept on saying, Jesus is that only way. People don't want to hear that, and that is the only straight gate there is. But when it comes to cutting corners, don't worry. You can still live as a sinner. No. You can do whatever you like. If you want to come in through the straight gate, the way our father traveled, the ancient ways, give me the old time revival. Give me the old time religion. I don't like using the word religion because Christ-like character is not religion. But many today would rather prefer to buy religion, would rather prefer to follow whoever it is except the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you see men that fear God, when you see men that bring Christ as the light, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. If any man come unto me, he will not walk in darkness. Whoever is able to present the Lord Jesus Christ in that straight gate, there be the light. But unfortunately, the scripture my sister quoted now, it said, Satan comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Many are in that area, and it's all wide. But that same scripture, the last part of it says, I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. But there's this terrible slogan. They want to enjoy this life before they think of heaven. And that's why it's difficult for them to come in through the straight gate. They don't want to buy the truth. They don't want to live in the truth. They don't want to obey godly instructions. They don't want to live by faith. They want to live for today. Whatever happens tomorrow, they don't give a damn. But that is not the way of righteousness. In that same Proverbs 26, he said, we should walk in righteousness. But lo and behold, majority, they feel it's too hard. And unfortunately, many outfits called churches let down the standard to appease men forsaking God. But we are privileged. And that privilege, we are not taking for granted. I'm not taking it for granted. And because I want to remain in this, following this straight gate, I'm trusting the Lord that nothing shall by any means divert my attention. And we keep on praying for our younger ones too. In all circumstances, that they should follow the straight gate, because it is the end thereof that promises eternal life. Anything outside the straight gate is destruction. May the Lord help us. That's my little understanding of why people refuse the straight gate for the wide destructive way. Thank you, sir. Thank you, ma. Thank you, everybody. I yield my mic.
Amen. Thank you, Sister Otitoju, for that share and trying to practicalize it for our ways, I mean for our day. Should we follow the broad way because it's popular? Popular culture, popular opinion, does that necessarily align with God's way? Well, that's the choice that we have to make. It's almost like, you know, we are standing at a split in the road and there's one you can go this way or one you can go that way. Well, everybody that, you know, people come in there, you know, the road, I mean, we have a tendency naturally to do that. We all do that. I mean, if you're driving, if you have to go drive to a place and you see one very narrow, you know, road that is rough, and then you see another road that's wide, that's three or four or five lanes, which one are you going to take? You know, I mean, let's be honest. We will all gravitate towards the nice road. You want to drive from one city to another. And you know that if you go this way, you know, it's a dual carriage highway. It's got four lanes, two on each side. If you go this way, this road is very narrow and winding. It's face me, I face you kind of traffic. Which one are you going to take if you are aware of it before you got on those lanes? Everybody would naturally choose the road that is smooth and wide. Because that's just our nature. Well, but the end of it may not be what we thought. We told of a parable some days ago while we were talking of glittering and gold and all that. Look, you have a choice to board two trains. One of them looks, you know, very nice. It's electric, it's fast, it's modern. It can really get you quickly to where you're going. The other one looks like a, you know, it's a locomotive, you know, you know, drags its feet along, smoke and everything. And, you know, which one are you going to choose for your trip? There is no question in anybody's mind. You're going to pick the nice, smooth, comfortable, fast, modern electric train. But unfortunately, the tracks for that train, well, ends just a short while after it leaves the station. This one that looks old and sluggish, it's a locomotive. You have to put coal and everything you need to keep it moving. That's the one that actually the tracks get to where you're going. But we don't know that when we're standing, looking, trying to make a choice. You know, so that is life. You know, and the caution in today's lesson is that we should not necessarily choose based on what things look like or what everybody else is choosing. Because when you see them rushing in there, doesn't necessarily mean that that's where God is at. In fact, Lady Evans said something. She's in the lesson that she gave of the rich man and Lazarus. She said, well, worldly affluence, you know, is not an indication, you know, of being right with God. And we make that mistake many times. If you see someone that's doing very well and thinks, you know, they are rich and wealthy and increased with goods, you know, we tend to think that, well, that must mean they are doing something right. It must mean they are walking with God. You know, because, I mean, God is blessing them. Well, that's not necessarily the case. We saw that story. The man that fared sumptuously and did very well, he ended up in the wrong place. You know, so does it mean then that everybody that is rich will end up in the wrong place? Not necessarily. But Jesus told a lesson and a parable said, look, it is harder for rich men, a cattle, to enter into the eye of a needle than for a rich man to get to heaven, because the rich man trusts in his riches. And, that's the thing. There are many lessons in the Bible that confirm the same thing. The same thing that Jesus said about the things that we highly esteem among men, an abomination to God. I quote it all the time on this platform, Luke 16 and 15. Well, the road looks nice. It looks pleasant, flashy and everything. A lot of believers actually that are trying to copy the people of the world, copy the way they dress in Hollywood, the way they do and the life they live, because that's what you see on TV. those people will end up, unless they repent and turn back, that road ends in destruction. Don't you do it. Don't you take that road. Don't you go that way, because it ends in destruction. But this one that's not popular. Up with Psalm 11. We talked about that the last 2 days. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. But it looks good on the outside. And so everybody rushed towards it. And Jesus talked about little flock. Luke chapter 12. Why does he call them little flock? Well, he said, fear not, little flock. It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Luke 12 and 32. Does it mean that, God doesn't have or doesn't like multitudes of people? Of course he does. the king's glory is the multitude of people, the scripture says. So it is a thing that the Lord also enjoys. We can have multiple people. He said concerning Christ, it's a small thing for you to be salvation only to the Jews. I will make you to be salvation to the ends of the world. He wants to reach to everybody, but he wants to do it his way, his own way. Let us not follow the gold and glitter, which may be the golden calf, but let's follow the straight and narrow way. When we need to make choices, our choices must not be based on something that is popularly accepted in the culture. That's not necessarily the right choice. We got to look deeper. Are we making the choice just because that's what everybody else is doing? Or is that what the Spirit of God leads us to do according to the Word of God? What the Word of God may lead you to may not be popular. In fact, it may be, uncomfortable. That's why it's straight. It's like tight. It's tight. It's narrow. It's not comfortable. But so you have to endure certain things to be on that road. But that's the one that gets to where we want to get to at the end. That's our conversation today. If you want to join in that conversation, please feel free to do so. Thank you, Sister Otitoju.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Pastor. Thank you, Sister Boss Otitoju. God bless you. And thank you, everyone, again. I just wanted to share this scripture in James 1:27. When Sister Boss Otitoju was talking about religion, religion, in the Bible, it says in James 1:27 that pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this: to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Amen. So, just like my sister said, when we go into worldly things, then we're going into the wide road. And this pure religion is to keep ourselves unspotted from the world, and also to visit. So to me, it seems like pure religion is actually what you do, what you do in when you call yourself a believer. What do you do? Do you just, if you go visiting the fatherless, you go visiting, or the widows in their affliction, you provide for them. You don't afflict them more. Some people like to even afflict widows. They're already in affliction, and they afflict them the more. So let us be careful that we're not going against God's word in keeping this word, you know, to take special care of the fatherless and the widows among us, you know, to be kind to them in their affliction, and also to be unspotted from the world. Amen. I just wanted to share that. Thank you so much. I will mute here. God bless you.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lady Ebo.